From WRKF 89.3 HD in Baton Rouge, this is Insight. I'm Amy Jeffries. Louisiana has the highest incarceration rate in the world. The Brennan Center for Justice recently put out a report on the effect of imprisonment on crime across the country. Lauren Brooke Eisen is one of the authors of the report, and she's joining me from New York to walk through some of the findings. Hi, Lauren Brooke. Thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely.
So some people will look at this statistic that one in 75 adults here where I am in Louisiana are locked up and go, this is terrible. We're living in a police state. Other people will look at it and look at the incidence of crime having dropped by 40% between 1993 and 2013 and say, we're doing something right. We're really good at getting the bad guys off the street. So where does this report come down on that question about whether this is kind of a plus or a minus that we've got this very high incarceration rate here?
Well, what we've seen is that a geographically and very politically diverse set of states have proven that you don't need to build more prisons in order to reduce crime.
At what point does incarcerating more people cease to have an effect on decreasing crime?
Well, what you're talking about there is really the diminishing returns of incarceration, and it's pretty intuitive. So if you're incarcerating, let's say, a million people or 1.1 million people, which is what the criminal justice, the prison population was in the early 1990s, you're going to be incarcerating those who have committed more serious crimes. What we've done since then is we have almost doubled the number of people incarcerated in this country. You're no longer just incarcerating those who might have committed serious, dangerous, violent crimes. Our country has, you know, created a diverse set of, you know, pretty draconian criminal justice sentencing policies, such as truth in sentencing laws that require inmates to serve about 85% of their sentences, mandatory minimums. And we've increased the penalties on a lot of nonviolent crimes. And Louisiana is, you know, certainly an example of that. Louisiana has many mandatory minimums that incarcerate nonviolent individuals for very long periods of time. And that's partly why Louisiana's incarceration rate is so high.
Did you get to come down here at all as part of your research?
I've been to Louisiana, not specifically for this research. I did a little bit of work in Louisiana in my previous position. I worked on justice reinvestment policies in the state, so I worked a little bit with the Sentencing Commission before joining the Brennan Center. And as part of the research for this report, I spoke to a number of individuals who are working on legislation and on the ground in the state. So we spoke to lobbyists. We spoke to a couple nonprofits, and we spoke to a prosecutor and a member of the Sentencing Commission in terms of doing our research.
And what was the most surprising or impressive thing that you heard in those conversations?
I think there are so many people working to improve the criminal justice system in Louisiana. It's a complicated issue. There, you know, a lot of policymakers are, you know, loyal as they should be to their constituents. And I think politics gets in the way too. And you saw that with what happened with this heroin bill. You know, many states are reducing their mandatory minimums. They're getting rid of their sentencing enhancements. And what we saw in Louisiana this year was increases in mandatory minimums. You know, we saw a new mandatory minimum in Louisiana this year in terms of theft over $25,000. And this is really antithetical to, you know, what most of the research and evidence shows. Long prison sentences do not improve public safety.
Where have you seen a different approach having an effect on the both the incarceration rate and the crime rate?
Well, I think New York is a good example. New York has reduced its prison population over 25% in the past decade, And New York has not only repealed what some consider very draconian, what they were called as the Rockefeller drug laws that contained mandatory minimums for drug crimes, they have also increased judicial discretion to provide drug court alternatives. And the state's really introduced a lot of robust diversionary programs. And in fact, this year, Governor Cuomo signed legislation that would improve drug and mental health responses in the state. There are other states that have also invested in alternatives to incarceration. Texas is another great example. In about 2009, Texas invested hundreds of millions of dollars in drug treatment, and they did this in lieu of building more prisons. And that's really important. Texas had a choice. They had overcrowded prisons, and instead of building more prisons, they used that money and they redirected it to drug treatment centers. And in fact, Texas was able to reduce its correctional population as a result.
Lauren Brooke Eisen is a researcher with the Brennan Center for Justice. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
I'm Amy Jeffries, and this is WRKF.